Thank you. May be seated.
We're going to continue on somewhat where we left off last week. And I want to emphasize a certain point that I think is very elementary and understood here, but to most of Christendom, it is not. It is a very foundational point, and yet most of Christendom gets it wrong. That is, the gospel is a path. There's people who say, oh, don't be talking about standards and convictions and dress and all. Just preach the gospel. But they don't understand, in their mind, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As though, you know, anything beyond that is not the gospel. No, the fact is, there's a lot of people who don't understand that the gospel is a path. Mm-hmm. So, it answers the question, why at Living Faith Christian Fellowship are we different than many churches? Why do we do what we do? What is the bottom line at LFCF? Last week we started with Galatians 1:6. We're going to start there again. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. If the gospel is just believing in Jesus, believing that he died, buried, rose again, I accept him as my Savior. If that's the gospel, then people who believe that often wonder, why are you doing all this other stuff? Why are you worried about this? Why are you preaching on that? Why do you have this rule or standard? Or why do you dress the way you dress? Because we just believe the gospel. Do you? There's a lot of people who say, who live very different, and yet they say, well, we're believers. Oh, what do you believe? What is it you believe? You're a believer. I believe in Jesus. Okay. There's a lot of atheists who are good historians who believe that Jesus lived. What do you believe? Mm-hmm. I believe he died, buried, and rose again. Well, is that all you believe? I think just about every Christian cult and ism believes that. Okay. So what do you believe? The Gnostics even believe that. Well, I want to mainline on the point, the gospel is not a pill you take. It's not a creed you embrace. The gospel is not something God did for you that you just have to be the recipient of, a gift that you just receive. The gospel is a path, and I'm going to prove it from Scripture. I'm also going to help you to see that we talk, well, the gospel's, you know, you believe the gospel, you're born again. Do you know the Bible also says that we are being born again by the Word of God? That incorruptible seed, we are being born again. What's the greatest evidence that Isaiah was born? The proof. Well, he's here. He's alive. He's living, right? What's the greatest proof that you had a born again experience? Well, you're living a born again life.
Right.
You had a new birth. Are you living a new life? It's very important that we understand these things properly. So you see in Galatians 1:6, we're talking about a different gospel. In Galatians 5:4, he says, "And Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law," obviously the blood of bulls and goats, the ceremonies and so forth. The Jews believed that they actually were justified before God by that, is why they didn't appreciate the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. You are fallen from grace. In other words, you're fallen from God's salvation program, the gospel. All right? If you're justified by the law, you don't understand the gospel. You don't need the gospel. The gospel is God's salvation, justification by faith program. All right? So, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of justification by faith. In other words, we are walking in the Spirit, we're obeying the Spirit, we are exercising faith, and we are waiting for the hope. What do you mean? That means it's future? We're waiting for the hope of justification by faith. In other words, we're waiting so that after we have fought a good fight, we have finished our course, we've kept the faith, henceforth there is a crown of justification, of righteousness, a righteous standing awaiting us. Okay? So, he says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision or Judaism availeth anything. Christ has become of no effect. Notice the words, okay? Judaism doesn't avail. Avail for what? Justification by faith. Nor circumcision, nor uncircumcision, or Gentilism, but faith which works by love. So, it doesn't. Being a Jew is not going to do it. Being a Gentile is not going to undo it. The issue is, what avails in Christ, in Christianity, for you going to heaven, what avails for you receiving mercy from God? Last week we talked about the fact that it's not of works, but according to mercy. But you've got to get that mercy. Not everybody does, right? So what avails for getting you that mercy, what avails for you being justified, is a faith which worketh by love. But I thought it was when I went to the altar and prayed that prayer and I got it, I couldn't lose it. Well, I don't know who told you that, but they're lying.
Right.
A faith which works by love speaks of a path,
right,
a way, a lifestyle. Amen. That continually leaves you in a position, like we talked about last week, where you're eligible for mercy. Okay? The faith that works by love doesn't earn. Because then it wouldn't be justification by faith. Justification by faith is something that you, faith that works by love, makes you eligible for until you actually get the finished product. Okay? Pay attention to the grammar and the words. And then in the same book, same context, same message, Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hold it. I thought we were talking about justification by faith. We are. A faith that works by love. And if you have a faith that works by love, what are you going to reap? That's what you're sowing. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What is sowing to the Spirit? Well, he says here, through the Spirit we wait for the hope of justification by faith. How do we do that? With a faith that works by love. Okay, so sowing to the Spirit means having a faith that works by love. And you reap, what do you reap? Life everlasting. And let us not be weary in this process. Mm-hmm. Let us not be weary in a faith that works by love. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. If we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are the household of faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You see this? Are you listening? In Christ Jesus, in the gospel, in salvation through Christ Jesus, what avails? Circumcision? No. Judaism? No. Sacrifices? No. What avails? A faith that works by love, which makes you what? A new creature. Right. This is repeated twice in the book of Galatians. In Christ Jesus, what avails? A new creature. And as many as what? Walk. Mm-hmm. According to this rule. Peace be on them and what? Mercy. Oh, they're going to get mercy. Mm-hmm. What if they don't walk according to this rule? They're not going to get mercy.
Right.
They're not going to have peace with God. Okay, so the whole context here is a true gospel and a false gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Now pay attention, stay with me. Next slide. There's two paths that we find in the scriptures. The path of reconciliation, justification, pardon, adoption, the path to life. And then there's the path of wrath. A path of death that leads to death. Okay, this can be shown through many scriptures. We'll look at a few of them today. But you need to understand, the gospel is a path. The gospel is a certain way of life whereby you receive mercy. In the Sunday school lesson, was a good platform for that. Jacob's wanting to bring his whole family, and they're going to go meet God at Bethel, and they're wanting mercy, and they're needing God's help. And so what do? They clean up, get rid of their false gods, and get rid of their jewelry, and change clothes, and clean up, because why? We want mercy. Well, if it's mercy, it means you didn't work for it. Exactly. But you got to be eligible for it.
Right.
Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, the natural man. This, you know, we think, well, God should do it this way. But according to your mind, that may be the way of death. Mm-hmm. You may be thinking based on a carnal viewpoint, carnal values. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, are the ways of wrath. Because when you get death, you get God's wrath. The way of destruction. So the path to life, it's important we understand, changes man's natural inclination on two primary issues. His relationship with God and his relationship with man. We know this. This is basic, but most people who say we got to love God and love people don't understand that's part of the gospel in your life. And if you don't do that, you're not obeying the gospel. They separate the gospel as over here. The gospel's what Jesus did for us when he said it's finished on the cross, and all we do is accept it. And then if we want rewards, well, we need to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, if we want to be a good Christian. No, you need to understand. If any man preach any other path other than what the Bible preached, what Paul preached, he's a preacher of another gospel. Okay? There, if the gospel is a path, if the gospel is a way to live on planet Earth, then preaching that you can live another way and still go to heaven is a preacher of another gospel.
Right.
All right? Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly. That's to your fellow man. To love mercy, that's to your fellow man. And to walk humbly with thy God. It's going to change your life, your relationship with God and with man. Next slide. In Matthew 7:12, this is the summing up of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, by the way, in Matthew, the Sermon on the in the Plain in Luke, is basically a summary of what Jesus preached everywhere he went. All right? The Sermon on the Mount wasn't, you know, oh, the disciples at the end of 3.5 years, oh, yeah, that sermon, yeah, I remember that sermon on, no. They gave that sermon as an example of what he preached everywhere he went. This was a taste of what Jesus preached, okay, along with the other things they gave. But it wasn't like that's the only place he preached it. We know that from just looking at Luke. There was another version of that same sermon, and it was in a plain. It's like the fact that we know that Jesus cleansed the temple at his first time he went up to Passover, and we know he cleansed the temple the last time he went to Passover. So all we got to do is realize that if Jesus didn't tolerate things happening in the temple, he never tolerated it any other time he went up for a feast either. Okay, that's how you understand the scripture. You've got to think your way into it and realize that Jesus didn't just say, okay, I'm going to cleanse the temple at this time, and 3.5 years from now, I'm going to cleanse it again. But in between there, I'm just going to tolerate this stuff. That's no way to understand scripture. So Matthew 7:12, we have a summary of the Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew 7:12 through 21 or 28, is the closing statements, summing up everything he said. Matthew 7:12, therefore, that's why it says therefore, we're in a summary. All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Extremely reasonable, extremely appropriate. That's what God's asking us to do to our fellow man. And yet, it is so contrary to the natural inclinations of man. Jesus said it's a narrow, tight gate and a narrow path. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That's the very next verse. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Why is it a wide gate and a broad way? Because it's the way where you can do whatever you want. It's the way where everybody has room for everybody. Come as you are. Stay as you are. There's room for everybody on this road. But this other path is a straight. Most people think straight, they get it confused with the other straight, like straight is a narrow. It's not what it's saying. Straight means tight, like the Straits of Gibraltar, or he's in a strait between two narrow places, two cliffs. He's in a strait. It's a narrow place, and it means in the Greek, it's narrow due to obstacles. Okay? And narrow is the way. The word narrow there is actually translated tribulation, suffer, trouble. Narrow to crowd. When the crowd thronged Jesus, it was that word. Narrow is the way, which leadeth unto what? Life. And few there be that find it. So, Jesus has just given us the Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching that men should repent and believe the gospel. That's what it says. He went out and preached that men should repent, and he went out and preached the gospel. He went out and preached the gospel of the kingdom. All these things are mentioned about Jesus, and this is what he says. If you want to enter into the kingdom, if you want to enter life, you come by the way of a straight gate and a narrow path. And it leads to life. Life is not obtained completely at the gate. The gospel is going through a gate and walking on a path.
Right.
Okay? As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. Next slide. So, right after this clear presentation showing that the gospel is in line, perfectly in harmony with the law and the prophets, what God is asking us to do is very appropriate. Why is it narrow? Why is it straight? That's because of us. Because what God's asking us to do is reasonable. Very, very appropriate. So why is it so tight? God doesn't make it tight. I make it tight. You make it tight. It's because God says you've got to leave behind those idols, Jacob, and your family. Leave all that. That's not going to fit. You got to leave that behind. But if all you have is love the Lord God with all your heart, love your neighbors yourself, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. If this is all you've got with you, the way is going to be not so tight and not so narrow. There's plenty of room for that. What makes it narrow is most people want another gospel. Most mankind does not want the gospel to be a path, a way that I have to live. They want it to be a gift that I get, or a night deposit box where I put my soul, and on judgment day, I'm sure glad it's going to be there. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. These are the ones who have designed all the other gospels. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit. Who's defining good fruit? That narrow path, that straight gate, the law and the prophets, God's standards, that's defining fruit, okay? Every tree that bringeth not forth this fruit that God is looking for is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby by their fruits ye shall know them. Brother Mark, that sounds like salvation by works. No, this is salvation where the gospel is a path. Mm-hmm. The gospel is a path where you have to have faith that works by love. God's love. The gospel is a path where it's a straight gate and a narrow way. You say, well, isn't that salvation by works? No, because you're not earning anything. You are being eligible for mercy, But you're not earning anything.
Right.
Keep that in your mind. Whereby their fruits ye shall know them, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so what are we talking about? Salvation. We're not talking about getting rewards and how big your mansion's going to be. We're talking about you being in the kingdom of God, period. But he that doeth the will of my Father. I thought it was by grace. Yeah. It's by grace. That means you didn't earn it. Grace means you didn't earn it. Mm-hmm. But in order to be eligible for mercy or eligible for grace, you have to follow this path. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. So just doing things is not enough. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work anomia. Iniquity, lawlessness. In other words, you're not doing what Matthew 7:12 said. Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. He built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. Rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Jesus, are you preaching the gospel here? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are you preaching justification by faith? Yes. Are you preaching salvation by works? No. We're not. He's not telling you how to earn it. You cannot earn it. He's telling you how to be eligible for grace. Mm-hmm. It's justification by faith. Okay, so a faith that works by love doesn't earn anything. Okay, Brother Mark. So, next slide, 2 Peter. So, the gospel's a path. Are you telling me that if we don't do everything just like your church does, that we don't believe the gospel? Well, yes and no. There are things that we do that are necessary parts of the gospel. And then within that, within the realm of what is necessary, obviously there's some wiggle room in there where we can be a little bit different here and there. We don't have to do everything exactly the same. But on the fundamental basics of a faith that works by love, we've got to be the same.
Right.
The fundamental basics of that narrow way, that narrow gate, yes. There's only so much change that you can make, and you're not on the path anymore.
Right.
2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's talking about the gospel, they are again entangled therein and overcome. That means they started living a different path.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. If they had kept on going and overcome and continued, they'd have been fine. They didn't. If they'd have stayed on the path of the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, where they escaped from the pollution of the world, if they'd have stayed on that path, they would have been fine. Otherwise, this verse means nothing. But they didn't stay on that path. They were overcome. They got entangled again. They went back onto the old path of the pollutions of the world, something besides what the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tells them. And now it's going to be worse for them than if they had not heard. For it had been better for them not to have known the what? The way of righteousness. Oh, that sounds like something a legalist would say. It's the way of justification by faith. But that faith has to be a faith that works by love. A faith that works by love is what avails in Christ Jesus. After they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So, the path to life, the gospel path, is a change in your relationship with God and your relationship with mankind. And the gospel has to define these changes. They have to be according to God's parameters. You can't just say, people say, well, love fulfills the law. Okay, there's two ways of going about that. Number one, your definition of love replaces the law, or God's definition of love fulfills the law. Which is it? Is it that God's definition of love, when lived out, fulfills the law? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7:12. Mm-hmm. It's not your definition of love replacing the law, but that's where almost all Christendom goes with it. That if we just love, according to who? According to me. My definition of love. So if I just love, I don't have to obey the law. That means that your definition of love has replaced the law, right? That's where everybody goes with it. But that's not what it says. Next slide, Matthew 22. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus said that just like he said Matthew 7:12. Okay? Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all men. That word peace means to set at one. In other words, try as much as lieth in you to live peaceably with all men, the Bible says. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we've got the two greatest commandments have to do with a proper relationship with God and a proper relationship with my fellow man. And if I don't have these, I will not see God. The gospel is a path. Don't forget that.
Right.
Oh, Brother Mark, I got saved. You go knock on doors. Hey, I got saved 20 years ago. No, you didn't. You may have made a commitment 20 years ago. The gospel is a path. The gospel is a road that leads to life. Mm-hmm. Are you on that road today is the question. Are you still living according to God's word in the gospel today? You have a proper relationship with God and a proper relationship with your fellow man. If you don't, you're not obeying the gospel. Now, most of Christendom would choke on that one, all the theologians, but I hope they choke real good until they start reading their Bible. Acts 24:16. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Why, Paul? Because he wants to be saved by justification through faith. He wants to be saved by grace. It's not of works, but it's according to mercy. But he wants to be eligible for mercy. The gospel is a path, and you've got to have your relationship with God right and your relationship with people right, or you're not on the gospel path. Mm-hmm. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's a work. Something to do. Do I have to? This is what Jesus said was the commandment for his disciples. Do you want to be a disciple? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The apostles did that. So everything the apostles taught us is a part of that. You want to know what the bottom line is at Living Faith Christian Fellowship? Why do you guys live that way? Why are you different? Why? You know, it sounds kind of legalistic. Are you listening? Are you paying attention to what God says? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What if they did that and you didn't comply? Are you a disciple?
No.
Are you on the path of the gospel?
No.
Are you on that path that leads to life? No. I taught them to observe. On Judgment Day, the preacher says, I taught them to observe everything you told us, Lord. And the other guy says, well, yeah, but it sounded kind of legalistic. I thought it was a free gift. It's a free gift to those who learn to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, because that doesn't pay for anything. So God is very concerned that you have two things right, your relationship with him and your relationship with those around you. Don't think that you can come to church and you can kiss up to God and you can act all spiritual and you're not paying your bills, you're not being honest, you're taking advantage of people, you're being rude, you're being selfish. You know, all these things, injustice is the word the Bible uses to cover all of that. Injustice. We're going to see that in a minute. Next slide. In Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the what? The gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the justification of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, that's improper worship, and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now let me give you my paraphrase, okay? For I am not ashamed of the life and doctrine Christ has called us to follow. For it is God's powerful salvation plan to everyone who exercises faith in it. For therein is God's justification reconciliation plan revealed from one step of faith to another step of faith, as it is written, the man justified before God is the man living by faith in God. For the wrath of God is also revealed from heaven against all men who practice false worship and injustice towards others by suppressing the truth they have in order to continue living contrary to what is right, to righteousness. Okay? That's what the verse means. Mm-hmm. So we see here the gospel has very much to do with faith, one step of faith to another step of faith. The gospel has to do with the just living by faith. It is a path. And God's justification by faith is revealed in us walking the walk of faith. And also revealed from heaven is God's wrath. That's the other path. You got a narrow path that leads to life, and you've got another path that leads to wrath. The wrath of God is revealed against everyone who does not want to comply with this proper relationship with God and a proper relationship with man. Ungodliness and unrighteousness basically means improper worship and injustice. Okay? So God has revealed a path that men must take if they're going to be pardoned and reconciled. And it changes how you live toward God and toward men. And if you don't continue on that path, you don't get to life. If you don't continue on that path, you have changed to another path. Mm-hmm. Every other path is wrath. There's a lot of people who can't understand this. Once saved, always saved. Well, God, is God an Indian giver? You know, he gave us salvation, blah, blah, blah. You don't know anything about salvation if that's in your mind. You need to read what the Bible actually says. Next slide. The verse that everybody thinks they know and understand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay, that's all well and good, but let's define the terms.
Yeah.
Okay, let's explain what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, if coming to the light means your deeds will be reproved, it means coming to the light requires new deeds.
Right.
That means the gospel, believing in Jesus, is a new path.
Right.
But he that doeth truth, he that believes in Jesus, that's doing truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Wrought is the same word as work. It's just a different tense, okay? It's past tense. Work is present tense. Future tense is work. Past tense, he wrought, all right? And this is the condemnation, that God's will for justification and reconciliation has been revealed. What else is the light? That is the light.
Mm-hmm.
God's plan for reconciliation and justification. It's been revealed, just like Romans said. But men suppress it. Like Romans said, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress it because they love their evil lifestyle. For everyone who lives contrary to what God has called us to hates God's plan of justification and reconciliation. They don't like the light. All right? Because they don't want to change their deeds. But those who want to live by truth follow the gospel path and thus manifest that their deeds are due to exercising faith in God. Wrought in God means that they are done because I believe in God. Mm-hmm. I'm exercising faith. The gospel is a way of life. It's a path. It's a walk. It avails. It's a doing of truth. It's a change of deeds.
Right.
Next slide. If the gospel is a narrow path to reconciliation and justification, then all who promote any other path or life other than the gospel path are what? False prophets. Mm-hmm. They're the wolves in sheep's clothing. They're preachers of another gospel. All who promote another way to spend your life. What we're talking about. How are you going to live on the planet? The gospel is a certain way to live on the planet.
Right.
Other ways to live on the planet are other gospels.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to get saved. Another way to evangelize. Another way to have church. Another way to have marriage, family, children. Another value system. Different priorities, different morals, different manhood, different womanhood, different roles for husband and wives, and a different means of commerce and government. By the way, reconciling to God includes everything that we do on the planet. Our views of government, our views of society, our worldview.
Mm-hmm.
You say, Brother Mark, you should just preach the gospel. Everything you do on the planet is either according to the gospel or contrary to the gospel.
Right.
Let's go on. Next slide. Let's talk about some things that preach. We're talking about preachers of another gospel. I'm not talking about just people who stand in the pulpit or write books or evangelists. There's many things in life that preach. The music you listen to is promoting a path of life, a value system, a way to live on the planet. Is it preaching the gospel or another gospel? When I gave my life to Christ, I was listening to country western music. I grew up, and the big thing was being in rodeo, being a cowboy. I grew up in that. Went to public school. When I gave my life to Christ, I knew the first thing that had to go was that country music. I broke it up and threw it away. Why? Because I had chosen a path contrary to that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't long. You know, everybody I knew watched TV. The pastor watched TV. Everybody in church watched TV. My family watched TV. It wasn't long until my path that I had chosen and that television were incompatible, and I gave up the television. I'm 16 years old. I'm going to a Baptist church where everybody watches television. I'm in a family where everybody watches television. I'm in a family where when I stopped watching television, my parents got upset. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that television was preaching a different gospel.
Right.
It was telling me to live a certain way on the planet. But the gospel of Jesus Christ told me to live a different way on the planet. And by the way, I was going to a Baptist church, believed eternal security, and once saved, always saved. But in my simple mind, I knew, like Jacob, we're going to go meet God. We got to get rid of some things. I knew that that television, the attitudes there, okay? I'm sitting there watching. I'm watching people cuss. I'm watching immodesty. I'm watching certain attitudes. And then I go downstairs to my bedroom and I want to pray and commune with God. No, there was something didn't fit. That didn't work. I come before God and I thought, you know, I've got to totally change out of that and change into something else. That's a different world. That's a different path. If I was going to maintain a walk with God, I had to give up the garbage that was preaching another walk to me. 16 years old, I could figure that out. I hadn't gone to Bible college. I hadn't got a degree in theology. Didn't have to. Your music, different religions, denominations, isms. I don't care how nice they look and how nice they are. If they are leading you to a different path than what the Word of God lines out for His people, which is straight and narrow, by the way, there's not a lot of room for all of our ideas and opinions. God wants us to do it His way. And His way is what gets His mercy.
Right.
Sowing to the Spirit. By the way, Holy Spirit, how many different theologies do you have? The Holy Spirit has one theology. The Holy Spirit has one doctrine. And if I'm going to walk according to the Spirit, sowing to the Spirit to reap life everlasting, I can't just be doing what everybody does. I can't just be believing what everybody believes. I can't just be all-inclusive. The people that are all-inclusive and want to be all-inclusive are not the ones who really care about the gospel path. Political movements, books, games, hobbies, sports. You need to stop and evaluate your life and say, okay, am I allowing voices in my life that promote a different way to live on the planet than what the Word of God is telling me? The suppression of truth. The Bible says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, who suppress the truth, who have it but don't follow it because they want to go a different path. If you want God's wrath, that's exactly how you get it. I don't want to change my deeds. Well, you're not going to come to the light because your deeds are going to be reproved. You're going to stay in darkness because I like my deeds. I don't want to change my deeds. Well, then you're going to stay in darkness. That's where all these false gospels come from. It's from people who want to be a Christian. They want to believe they're going to heaven, but they don't want to change their deeds. So they don't come to the light because then their deeds are reproved. The Bible says God's wrath is promised. It's announced. It's revealed from heaven against any other gospel. The gospel is a path. It's a way of life. It affects the way you live. It affects the way you treat people. It affects the way your house is. It affects the way your car is. It affects the way your clothes are. It affects the way you wear your hair. It affects everything in your life, the music you listen to, the recreation. It affects everything. Right. Why? Because you're supposed to be sowing to the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost has an opinion about everything.
Right. Good.
When we started on our journey, my wife and I began to realize things in the Baptist church were bad, wrong. I couldn't figure it out for a while. Before I ever got married, I knew there were problems. I was trying to make all their theological loose ends fit together somehow. They don't mind being illogical. I like things to fit. I like to understand why it works, and I want to see that it works and it fits and it harmonizes and it's common sense and logical. And by the way, when you figure out what God is actually saying, it makes perfect sense. It's totally reasonable. My wife and I got married, and as I began to study, I realized There's bad issues here with this doctrine. So we left the Baptist church. But in our journey from false gospel to true gospel, we met a lot of people along the way. We met homeschoolers. We met back to basics people, off grid. We met the people that are all about philanthropy. You know, their major theme is helping the poor. We met people who their major theme is about women's dress, head covering. We met people where their main theme is communal living, being in community. We met people whose main theme is political conservatism, patriotism, political action. We met people who were all about being Anabaptists, Mennonites, Amish, and on, kingdom Christians, they called themselves. We met people who were all about Hebrew roots, Sabbath keeping. You say, well, are those things all bad? No. No, in fact, there's many positive elements in many of these. Most of these become an end in themselves. Mm-hmm. When that happens, you have straining out gnats and swallowing camels right. as a common way of life. Uh-huh. There's nothing wrong with a lot of this. Now, some of them are actually, communal living is nothing taught in the Bible, okay? So, pacifism of the Anabaptists, there's a lot of Marcionism in there, okay? So, I'm not endorsing this stuff. I'm just saying there's good elements in these things, but none of them is the goal.
That's right.
None of them are the end. So, as we're going along, yeah, we started homeschooling. We wanted to get more self-sufficient, you know, back to basics. We wanted to help the poor. We wanted to be modest biblically. We wanted to do what was right. But it wasn't for any of these goals. These were not our big, you know, the big chicken to fry. There was a bigger chicken to fry, and that was the gospel. The path to reconciliation moves you beyond these matters to an all-encompassing goal that becomes the filter for which of these matters are good and which are bad. What parts of them can stay and what parts of them need to go. The gospel is all about discipleship, a path of reconciliation with God, and that path of reconciliation with God, on that path you will adopt some of these principles. You will learn some things and kind of take it on. But if any of those things become your big goal and theme, you've changed paths. It's a false gospel.
Right.
If your goal is not the goal, you've got a false path. The path is heading to a goal. And that goal is complete and full reconciliation with the mind and heart of God, God's doctrine, God's word. And slide number 10. Let's quickly look at a few verses here, okay? And in these verses, I want you to notice the goal. I want you to notice the theme of the thrust and what the path is doing and where the path is going, okay? 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. There's a lot of people today who are happy to have church and you know, they have their little pet doctrines. But when it comes to getting back to the first century faith, accurate first century faith, they really have no heart for that. They have no stomach for it. They think, you know, I think when I have God, it's pretty good, and we've got a lot of people here, and if I started preaching that, I might split the church. You know, these groups are kind of fragile. You don't want to rock the boat too much. I've heard all that. Mm-hmm. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, in other words, the finish line, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. It's not to him that willeth or to him that runneth, but it's the one that wills and runs in such a way that they get mercy. That's what Romans is talking about. It's not saying that You know, all your efforts are worthless. It matters whether you're predestinated. Only a nitwit would come to that conclusion in Romans 9. What it's saying is, it's not to him that willeth or runneth for the sake of willing and running. Willing and running is not the key. It's willing and running on the right path. That's where you get mercy. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, complete, mature man, under the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Do you see the goal? Do you understand there's only one path that reaches that goal? There's one path. That's the path that we are trying to discover and walk on. It sounds like you're working. You think you're going to work your way to heaven? I'm going to believe my way to heaven. I'm going to have the faith that works by love, yes. Mm-hmm. All the way to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what avails.
Right.
If you are not, if you're not living and breathing and everything in your life to become to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, if that's not your goal, it's also not your path.
Right.
Well, I just want to go to heaven. Fat chance to you getting there, unless this is your goal today. Jude 3, number 12 there. Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith is the gospel, is the path. Mm-hmm. It's the way to walk. As many as walk according to this rule. It's that which avails in Christ Jesus. Okay? You're not going to get justification unless you are walking in the faith. And when you cease to walk in the faith, you are no longer being justified. This Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, Brother Mark, I don't believe you can lose your salvation when you really got it. You don't know what you're talking about. We're talking about the mechanics, okay? We're not the guy that says the car won't start maybe because the starter's broke. No, we're the one who knows exactly what the pistons do and the rings and the rods and the valves. And, you know, we know how this thing works because the Bible tells us. And it's not like once you really got it, you can't lose it. That just tells me you really don't know anything about the mechanics of it. Mm-hmm. It's a path. It's a path. Are you on the path? Are you walking the path? Are you striving lawfully? You're not going to get crowned unless you strive lawfully. What you're doing has to avail in Christ Jesus. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Is that preaching the gospel? Uh-huh. That is a path. It's a narrow path. It's a straight, a narrow, a tight gate, and a tight path. And it leads to a destination called life. It is the path of a faith that works by love. It is the path of a new creature in Christ Jesus. It is the only path that avails. And as many as walk according to this path, peace be on them and mercy. Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. What if you do something else? Oh, God's with me. Are you sure? Are you doing something else? If you're doing something else, the God of peace is not with you. Mm-hmm. It's not about God pleasing you. It's not about the church pleasing you. It's not about religion pleasing you. It's not about all the people at the church pleasing you. The church is simply to be a guide, a teacher about the path. A path that you have to walk. A path that you have to walk and you have to stay on in order to have justification by faith. And I know that there's a lot of people out there, Baptist preachers and different, communists, Calvinists, same thing. If it's all predestined, then what's the difference? There's a lot of people out there who would squawk and say, well, you're preaching a salvation by works. That's the problem. That's the fact that you believe that what I've said is salvation by works is the problem in Christendom today. Uh-huh. I've not given you a path to earn salvation. I have taught you a path to be eligible, a path that avails, sowing to the Spirit, a path where you get mercy, peace beyond them. We at Living Faith Christian Fellowship are pursuing that path. If you're not here because you want that path, you want to walk on the path, you want to teach your children the path, you want to learn more about that path, then you shouldn't be here. That's what we're about. That's what I'm here for.
Right.
That's how I believe salvation comes. When I have fought a good fight, when I've finished my course, when I've kept the faith. That's striving lawfully. There are people who will be hearing my voice who have never heard salvation by grace presented this way. This is salvation by grace through faith. Right. A faith that is not alone. Okay? A faith that works by love. God's definition of love. A faith where our relationship with God is right. Our relationship with man is right. Because the other path is what? Wrath. There's revealed from heaven a path where the just live by faith. It's a path where our relationship with God and with man is set in order. One step of faith to another step of faith. There's also revealed from heaven another path where your relationship with God is not what it ought to be. Your relationship with man is not what it ought to be. It's a path of wrath. That's about as simple as it can be presented. You want to know why we are what we are? Why do you guys dress that way? I'm not saying that the Bible, you don't make assumptions on what I'm saying. You see someone with suspenders. Oh, you think you got to wear suspenders, you go to hell. You said that, I didn't. Don't jump to conclusions until you've asked the pertinent questions.
Right, good.
But there are principles that we live by. And those principles that we live by and operate by are the path according to the Word of God and our understanding of it. And if you're living by different principles, if you're preaching different principles, if you're promoting different principles, I say you're a preacher of another gospel. Mm-hmm. I say you're one of those false prophets. If your path does not require what the path we just looked at requires, it's another gospel.
Right.
It's another way to live on the planet. Another way to run your life. The gospel demands that you run your life where your relationship with God is according to this word and your relationship with people are according to this word. And that, the Bible says, is a narrow gate and a narrow path. There's only so many options. Once you have light, you have to walk in that light. If you don't want to walk in the light, it's because your deeds, you don't want your deeds reproved. You say, this isn't rocket science, is it? Makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yep.
Let's stand together. See, Brother Mark, we knew all that stuff. Not all of you did. We've got youngsters growing up who need to hear it over and over and over.
Amen.
And if you began talking with somebody, one of your relatives, and said, well, that sounds like salvation by works, do you know how to answer them? Salvation's by grace. Do you know how to answer them? Well, you just got to believe the gospel. Do you even know what the gospel is? After last Sunday and this Sunday, you better. The gospel is not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. No, the gospel is the path that that knowledge requires. If you know that Jesus died and was buried and rose again from the dead, then you're admitting that you accept everything in this book as true. That means you're accountable to walk the path this book lays out. And not to dispense with any of it. Not to say, well, I want that path, but I want to take these deeds along with me. If you're going to come to the light, all your deeds are going to be evaluated by the light. And there's some that will be reproved. There's some that may be okay. But only the ones that are okay can come into the gate. Any thoughts before we close?
Adam and Eve, were they kicked out of the garden because they refused to acknowledge and confess God? Or were they kicked out because they didn't obey?
Well, they chose a different path.
They were kicked out because they didn't obey. But if they would have obeyed, it would have meant they confessed and acknowledged him. So if they were put out, if they were exiled because they didn't obey him, so God exiled them. If God redeemed them then without them obeying him, whose fault is it that they were in exile?
Right.
But if he redeems them because they obey him, they turn and change and actually obey him, then it's our responsibility to figure out, okay, why were they exiled? Now change that so that we can be redeemed by him.
The gospel preached in most of Christendom has no relationship with logic or rationale or reasonableness or even proper relationship principles that we understand in this life. It's all some mystical jargon that they use. They don't even know what they're saying. They just heard the preacher say it, so they parrot it. And what you just said is the basic 1, 2, 3s, ABCs of life. It's like if God banished them because they disobeyed, if he brings them back, they're going to have to return to obedience. I mean, this is just a no-brainer. Most of Christendom's like, well, now hold it now, but, and they'll run off on some words about grace and so forth that they don't understand what they're saying. And it's not logical. They can't explain it, but his ways are above our ways after all, you know. And so they just keep parroting this stuff. If people would stop and give God credit for being reasonable, rational, logical, and have common sense, they would understand that his book is very, very reasonable.
Yeah, it's what James was combating when he had people claim that they could believe in Jesus without a working faith. He's like, thou doest well. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. It's like most of Christianity today does not live a lifestyle any above that of the devil. He believes in God. He trembles before, you know, the devils also believe and tremble. When they saw Jesus, they were scared.
Right.
And but they weren't going to live by faith. And that seems like that's what he was dealing with when he makes that statement. And in Titus 2:11-14, it speaks of a path as well. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly. That's more than a decision. That's more than a one-time situation. That speaks of living. As long as you're alive, you live that way, soberly, righteously, and godly. And that's exactly what was presented this morning, is a path. And that spells it out. If that's not what your gospel teaches, if that's not what your grace teaches you, and you're not living that way, you don't have to live that way, then it's something else.
And preaching something like this seems redundant. Here, to some degree it is. Understand, what I just said this morning is considered rank heresy by most of Christendom because it's bringing in personal responsibility, something I have to do in regards to grace and mercy and salvation. Mm-hmm. And that's why when the Lord comes back, there's going to be a lot of people saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not this and that?" And he's going to say, "I never knew you because you were on a different path." So let's pray.
I think it's worthy to note that when Jesus was here on earth, he used parables to, he would say the kingdom of heaven is like unto. So it was things, natural things that the people could comprehend. He used that to illustrate spiritual truth. Well, today, it don't work that way, does it? It's like, well, God's ways are beyond our ways. There's nothing natural to illustrate. And yet, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. It starts out very small, but then there's a growing and a growing. It's like a grain of mustard seed. It's like starts out very small, then there's a growing. Without that continued growing,
right,
I don't properly illustrate what he was teaching.
Right. Yeah, I've heard those very common sense, rational, reasonable parables abused to fit somebody's doctrine. It's angering, but it happens all the time. Let's pray.